You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's Aaron Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon. Thurscombe Windsor provide the action in the evening. There's also racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Good morning, Mr. Walton. Yeah, not too bad.
Are you well, sir?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. We'll start as we usually do by looking back at some of the weekend action before we get stuck into Monday's racing. And a pretty big weekend for the girls. It was the Shergar Cup at Ascot, of course, on Saturday. And good day for Sammy Jo Bell in particular. She won the Silver Saddle. And the girls won the tournament for the first time. So, girl power.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a bit of a niche day in racing. A lot of people don't like it. But it gets international riders over, and it's provided some real good news stories. And Sammy Jo Bell, late call-up. Feel real sorry for Cathy Gannon, who fortunately had a nasty fall at Chepstow a couple of weeks ago and just bruised her collarbone. And just by a couple of days, I think she's going to be back riding next week, but she just wasn't going to be quite ready to ride yesterday. And we could have had Cathy on the front pages, but instead it's Sammy Jo Bell and the apprentice stole the headlines and took the most of the opportunities she got given.
Yeah, great story as well, because like you mentioned, she was a late call-up. She's the first apprentice to ride in the Shergar Cup as well. And
that was probably a help, because a £3 claim in a field full of handicappers, that £3 can make a massive difference, because generally the whole point of the races are there's 10 horses, high-grade handicappers, there's very, very little between them. So probably a £3 claim was a big advantage, but she got the job done. A good win for Richard Hannan. Obviously, generally most of her rides come up north for Richard Fahey. And to get outside rides like that, it'll be a real big boost to her career. And I'll say it's made a few headlines, and it was a great day.
What do you make of the competition as a whole? Are you for or against the Shergar Cup?
For it, I think. Yeah. I didn't particularly like it when I was riding, because the old man would try and enter some of my horses in it. And I wouldn't want to be losing my rides. Obviously, I wouldn't be riding that kind of race. But yeah, no, it's a real good thing for racing, because gets a few news stories, gets a few people involved. 30,000 people went. There was music afterwards. But like I say, it's a real good day. And the girls winning, very, very few sports where male and female athletes compete together. Mm. And for the girls to come out on top, it was a great day. And like I say, Emma Jane Wilson, she certainly makes every opportunity to promote the sport as such. She's very positive in front of the cameras. And like I say, we got a news story with Sammy Jo Bell winning it.
Elsewhere, we had good racing at Newmarket and Haydock as well. We'll just take a look at some of the feature races there. At Newmarket, the Sweet Solera Stakes, the Group 3 contest, went the way of Blue Bayou, who's looks a nice type.
Yeah, well, she was third in the Duchess of Cambridge at the July meeting, beaten a short head and nose, I think it was, beat absolutely nothing. And she made amends as such in Sweet Solera yesterday back at the July track. A slightly weaker race. But she did a job well, quickened up really, really nicely from the back of the field and beat a useful horse of Mark Johnson's Fire Glow back into second place. That was strong form, and one of the useful fillies, you'd imagine, should be stepping up in grade now back at the Group 2, maybe even Group 1 company for Brian Meenan, and it was a good performance.
It was. At Haydock, we had the Group 3 Rose of Lancaster Stakes. Went the way of the 1-3 favourite Interlac, very much expected to win, and won with some authority.
Yeah, definitely. Although, to be fair, I did think 2 out, my dad's horse, Master Carpenter, was actually going to beat him. He got Itlac off a bridle. But unfortunately for us, Master Carpenter doesn't really quite stay a mile and a quarter in that kind of grade. And despite the fact, I think he looked a likely winner, I'd say 2 out, the stamina of Itlac came in, and he really powered away nicely. And to beat Master Carpenter by 5 lengths was an impressive performance, and he's a really, really nice horse. And like I say, Mass Carpenter paid, because he doesn't really stay the trip, and he tried to race him, and that meant he finished further away than he probably should have done. but Interlac is a really decent horse. I think he could certainly have the stamina for a mile and a half, and I was really, really impressed with that performance.
Yeah, just with Master Carpenter as well, you must take a lot of credit from that, because like you said, the trip wasn't ideal. He likes to come off a fast pace, and you don't necessarily get that in the smaller fields. And
yeah, no, he had no excuses, to be honest. If it was a mile, I think he could beat Interlac, but obviously it was a mile and a quarter. Interlac is a proper Group 2, maybe Group 1 horse, whereas we probably are Group 3, Group 2 at best. But he ran a really, really good race, really, really proud of him. He goes now for the Strensel Stakes at the Ebel Meeting. That's a mile and one, which actually is probably his optimum trip. There's very few races over 9 furlongs. But he won a Group 3 over 9 furlongs at Shanty. And he's off to York at Ebel Meeting. Obviously, he won the John Smiths over a mile and a quarter. But that wasn't Handicap Company, and slightly easier track. So I do think he'll be hard to beat there. He's in very good form. But Interlac, I think, is a very, very decent horse. And yes, he was 3-1 on, but he did it very, very well.
One more story just to talk about before we move on. Ruby Walsh went over to Australia to ride in their Grand National, and a bit of history because he won the race, and the winner, Bash Boy, first horse to win the Australian Grand National 3 times. He won it off the highest weight since 1957. He's also the first to win prize money of more than $1 million Australian. So quite a significant overnight success for
Ruby.
Yeah,
definitely, and it was a late call-up. His normal jockey got banned, I think, or lost an appeal against a ban, and they decided to call Ruby up. Jump racing in Australia is very much the second sport. It's very limited. A lot of states refuse to run it. It's been banned in a lot of the states. But this was their premier race, and Bash Boy, I think he's the first jumper in Australia to win over $1 million in prize money. And like I say, Ruby's not missing anything over here at the moment, and a real good opportunity for him to go abroad, go to Australia, and add to the many nationals that he's won now. Won basically every big race in every continent. Big races in Japan as well. He's extremely talented. The racing press were looking forward to him being out there, and like I say, probably after the cricket, they're quite disappointed with the fact that the English and Irish sports stars are defeating them in their own backyard as well.
Yeah. As if the Ashes misery weren't enough, eh? Ruby Walsh has won the Grand National in Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales and Australia, and big race in Japan.
It's not bad, is this?
Not bad at all. Anything else caught your eye in the news before we move on?
Yeah, not really. Obviously, pretty quiet Newsweek. Shergar Cup was what was dominating the headlines, and we had that good news story with Sammy Joe Bell. Nothing particularly catching the eye. I think a little bit of a lull after Glorious Goodwood. But then we've got the Ebel Meeting to look forward to. Not too far away.
Yeah, before we get to that though, Monday's racing is next on the agenda, and James has got 4 races for us, so let's get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to look ahead to some of the action at Ayr, Wolverhampton, Thirsk and Windsor, all 4 domestic meetings on Monday, starting in the 3:45 at Wolverhampton, which is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 13 of them to go to post here, James, and none arrive in better form than Zaim.
No, definitely not. And Zaim has run, well, since Ivan Potato got hold of him back in June, he's won his last 3 outings at Wolverhampton, Lingfield and Brighton. He's gone up £19 for those 3 successes, but he's done him pretty cosily every single time. The subsequent weight rise wouldn't have beaten him last time, but it was only a 4-runner race he won at Brighton, so he will need to improve again. But new trainer Ivan Furtado's just given him 41 days off the track, freshened him up, ready to go again, and he's by far the most unexposed horse in this race. Generally a lot of exposed horses in opposition. She's Gorgeous is probably the one that comment doesn't really apply to. She's won 2 of her last 5 starts and won by 6 lengths at Lingfield on the weather last time out. But that has seen her handicap mark rise to 80. And she's been beaten a fair few times off 72, 73. So it would just be interesting to see whether she can cope with this rise in the weights, and whether that was just a bit of a flash in the pan for She's Gorgeous, for James Fanshawe. But he's probably going to be a short price to Zaim. But I think he will be very, very hard to beat. Adam Kirby on board, one of the best weather jockeys you can find. And ultimately, this new trainer, Ivan Furtado, had a double on Friday with Bred and Instill at Wolverhampton and Haydock. 3 winners in the last fortnight from a very, very small string of horses. So he can certainly get the job done, this new trainer. I think he was assistant to Roger Charlton for a while. And probably a trainer to keep an eye on as a whole. And I'll be going for Zaim to get the 4-timer in the 3:45 at Wolverhampton.
Moving to Air Next for their 4:30, and this one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for three-year-olds and older as well, and nine of them to go to post in this, James. And you could make a case for a number of these.
Yeah, we've got a nice bit of quality, actually, for a Monday afternoon. That was a good race at Wolverhampton, and we've just previewed in this. Now, it was a really competitive 71-90 Class 3 handicap, and we've got nine runners and some really useful northern horses in opposition. There's no Southern Raiders, which is probably a little bit disappointing for the racecourse, putting on 13 grand in prize money, but it's still got a strong field nonetheless. Gwarn, I thought, was a little bit interesting, who won here at Ayr on soft ground. It was pretty easy going on Saturday night when they had a race in there at Ayr. And Gwarn is actually well handicapped in his old form. He was rated 90 for his old trainer, Ed Dunlop. And now he's dropped to a mark of 75 when he winds up, £6.81. He's still £9 well in from the best of his form. And he could still be well handicapped. So I thought it was an impressive win 2 weeks ago. He'll be the selection because a few of the others seem to have hit a bit of a brick wall as far as the handicap's concerned. Final count on a real good start to the season for the Quins. But the wheels seem to have just fallen off a little bit now. He's been forced up in grade. And a mark of 87 does look beyond him. He won off marks of 72 and 79 under claimer Joe Doyle. And perhaps he's just not quite good enough to win off 87, so that's a question mark for him. But this is a slightly weaker race than what he ran in at York last time. Similar comments apply to Mika Mika. He had a very, very good start to the season, winning three races at Doncaster, Newcastle and Chester. But I just think he's probably a little bit high in the handicap as well. So ultimately, I'm going to go for one that has a little bit in hand with his handicap rack, and that is Gwarn for Mike Smith and PJ McDonald.
Go on for James and in that one. To Thirsk we go for their 7 o'clock, and this one is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. This one's for the 3-year-olds. We'll start here with Foreign Diplomat. Willie Haggis sends him up to Thirsk, which is the scene of his only victory so far.
Yeah,
as well.
I was in the studio when he won that day, and he didn't look particularly straightforward. I think he's just been a disappointing horse, because he's actually gone off favourite on 5 of his 6 outings, and the only time he didn't was when he ran in the 40 grand maiden at York at the Ewell meeting on his debut, and that was a really good effort when third to White Leg. But he hasn't really surpassed that form at all in his subsequent 5 starts. He beat Aki Champion when he won his maiden here at Thirsk, was 6-5 favourite, then went to the Dante meeting in a very competitive handicap, won by Yododa Dunsha. Mid-division 9th wasn't a bad effort, and then only 4th of 8 at Ripon last time out. So he is disappointing for me. I think he'd probably again be a pretty short price Foreign Diplomat, and I wouldn't be taking a short price about him. I just think he's a little bit quirky. So we're going to look elsewhere, and we've got a couple of consistent horses in the top weight. Olivia Farrow for Graham Lee and Paul Midgley, proven really progressive in recent starts. Started the season off a mark of 70, won at Chester, won a 15 grand handicap, beating Rudy, and then confirmed the form when second to Intiaz last time out, over 5 furlongs at Ripon. Only beat 3/4 of a length. Still off that mark of 80. I think Olivia Farrow could probably defy top weight before the handicapper has a chance to put him up. So Olivia Farrow will be the selection in the 7 o'clock at Thirsk.
And we finish in the 7:50 at Windsor. This one is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older. An interesting little race to finish here, James, despite only having 6 runners.
Yeah, definitely very interesting, because you can give a chance to the whole field. Top weight's obviously interesting. Breddon for John Gosden and Robert Havlin. This is a very lightly raced individual for Lady Rothschild. 3 of his 7 starts, he's won. Unfortunately, he's not been seen since October 2013, and he beat Ajman Bridge on his last start off a £3 lower mark. Ajman Bridge is a pretty decent individual. He struggled to actually get his head in front, but he's been second at Royal Ascot, 5th at Master Carpenter in the John Smiths, and 4th at Glorious Goodwood when very unlucky in running. So that was really decent form, but it's 674 days ago, so what kind of form is he going to return in? But Master Trainer John Gosden, I'm sure, has got him in reasonable shape. KP, listen to what he's got to say tomorrow about him if he's at Windsor. I'd imagine he would be his local track, because if he's fit enough, he will be very, very hard to beat. But sitting here in the studio a day before the event, before we see any market moves, it's very hard to tell. But keep an eye on the market, keep an eye on what KP's got to say about him, as he could well be the best horse in the race. But you've got to give a lot of weight to the 3-year-old Bishop's Leap for Andrew Balding and David Probert. And this individual has got a very progressive profile. He was third on his debut at Windsor back in June, followed up when winning by a nose over a mile and a quarter on Newell Weather at Lingford, and showed his versatility by winning back on the turf at Newbury. Again, only by a neck, beating Royal Toast in a six-runner handicap. That wasn't a bad contest. And the fact he won by such a short distance means the handicapper could only stick him up £4 up to a mark of 84. He could still be very, very well handicapped. Only seems to do the bare minimum. And getting £15 from Breddon is very, very interesting. I think he will be hard to beat. Oviedo's Perfect Cracker looks a little bit high in the handicap. Probably similar comments apply to Energy of Fox and Red Warrior. Smarty Arty is obviously interesting for Jeremy Nasida and George Baker. Off the mark in a maiden here at Windsor last time out. But that seems to be a much better effort than previously. A little bit disappointing at Ayr on his second start when I wasn't too impressed by him. So just a question mark of how good that form was here at Windsor. Into handicap company, probably needs to improve. So I'm going to go for the bottom weight, Bishop's Leap.
Bishop's Leap for James then in the 7.50 at Windsor. As always, let's just have a quick summary if you're spinning through your selections one more time.
Yeah, in the 3.45 at Wolverhampton, we've gone for Zeem to complete the four-timer for new trainer Ivan Furtado. In the 4.30 up at Ayr, we're going to go for Gorn, who's well handicapped in his old form for Ed Dunlop. Won here 2 weeks ago for new trainer Mike Smith, and I think he can follow up. At Thirsk in the 7 o'clock, we are going to go for top weight Olivia Fallow, who was a good second a week ago and off the same mark of 80. I think he's got a good chance. And then finally, in the 7.50 at Windsor, keep an eye on the market and what KP's got to say about the John Gosden trained Breddon. But 674 days off the track means that I'm going to go for bottom weight Bishop's Leap for Andrew Boulding and David Probert.
Good work. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1.50pm. Dave Kellner, John Babb and Gary Capewell will be the team in the studio. It's Ayr and Wolverhampton on Monday afternoon. Thirsk and Windsor provide the action in the evening. And we've also got a Monday night in Ballinrobe as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.